one of the cool things for me during my training was having the opportunity to go to different churches and experience worship in different contexts and in different communities with different people. And it always came kind of hit me more kind of so when it came to Lent or Advent, and you would see how different churches tend to prepare as they're heading into to these seasons. And especially when it comes to Advent, it was, you know, some churches would follow the lectionary, which is found in a thing called the Book of the Common Order, which is a selection of readings, a set reading that will take you throughout the year and through the season of Advent. Some churches take you through the story of the Nativity, and coming to Gorebridge has been no different, and we're now looking at a series which is Songs of Joy and Songs of Deliverance. And the good thing about this is I've had the opportunity to reflect, and I'm now going to have the opportunity to preach on Zechariah's song, which I've never ever had the opportunity to do so before. And it's been a really enjoyable experience this week to reread the passage and read all the things that are around the passage and put together this sermon. But what struck me was when we think of the really important people that are in the Bible, I'm pretty sure that Zechariah is nowhere near the top of your list. We might think of Jesus, God, Moses, David, throw in Mary. But Zechariah is probably not at the top of your list. We might even throw in his son, John the Baptist, but probably not his father, Zechariah. And some of you have probably already seen this, and at risk of ruining any street cred that I have here in Gorebridge, here's a confession. A few years ago, Elizabeth made me watch this film. And when I say made, I mean made me watch this film. However, I actually quite enjoyed it. For those of you that have never seen Love Actually, it is a romantic comedy set around Christmas time. It's a film that's filled to the rafters with big name actors and actresses. But see, for me, throughout this film, this guy steals the show. Alan Rickman. He has a very small part in the entire film, but for me, he steals the show. And I felt that Zechariah, for me, as I've been reading this story this week, Zechariah is a bit like this. He has a very small part, but it's a very, very important one. Because you see, Zechariah, he was the first person to be told that this thing that God's been promising for a while, this is imminent, this is happening. Zechariah is the first person to find that out. See, we also read that Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, they were known for their personal holiness. Zechariah is a priest. They're well suited to do special work for God. But you see, they shared a pain. And that pain was, they didn't have any children. And in the Jewish culture, having children was seen as a sign of blessing from God. And Zechariah and Elizabeth had gotten old, and they'd kind of given up even asking God for children. They just felt it was their lot. And at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, we read of this trip to the temple where it's Zechariah's turn on duty to go into the holy place. He's going to offer up incense on behalf of the people, but in addition to this amazing honor that is bestowed upon him, he is about to receive an unbelievable and unexpected blessing for himself and his wife. You see, much to his surprise and terror, he finds himself face to face with an angel, the angel Gabriel. And see, for Zechariah, the angel's message was too good. It was too good to be true. So Zechariah responds accordingly and expresses extreme doubt. I can almost imagine the interaction where Zechariah is in this holy place and Gabriel arrives. and tells him, you know, God wants to bless you. You're going to have a son. And he's going to be an important man. And Zechariah, I don't know, I'm old. My wife's old. What's your credentials? And I can imagine Gabriel just thinking, oh, man. Are you for real? I've literally just came from speaking with God, and he's asked me to come and bring this message to you. We're in the holy place. And you're asking, what's my credentials? But you see, Zechariah's doubts spoke more loudly to him than God's promises did. And at that point, God immediately prevents Zechariah from being able to speak. He's not going to be able to speak until that promise, until that blessing becomes a reality. So he becomes a mute. And we read just before our passage that it's only when the child is born that, and we learn that it's John the Baptist, that Zechariah regains his ability to be able to speak. See, Elizabeth, when the baby's born, alerts the community that this child is going to be called John. And she's going against convention. They were saying, you know, you can't call him John. Your husband's not called John. There's no one in your family called John. So they go to Zechariah and they ask him, what's your child's name? And because he can't speak, he writes it on a slate. His name is John. And immediately we read that he's struck with the Holy Spirit. And he recovers from his mutism. And then we read of his prophetic song that we're about to look over. But you see, before we actually look at the passage, I want you to think about a question. If you yourself had been mute for 9 months, waiting on that fulfillment of a promise, what would your song be? What would your song be to God? That's just a little thing to think about. So we're reading Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he had promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant that he swore as an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we will live. And you, my little son, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. See, Zechariah's first act on the fulfillment of this promise and being able to speak was to sing praises to God. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. What we see in the beginning of this prophetic song is that it looks very much like the thanksgiving wording that we would see in the Psalms. And we also see, as it moves through, this linking to the prophets from long ago. See, because the indications of that Jesus was going to be coming can be found in the last words of the Old Testament. And between that point and where Zechariah is, it's probably about 400 years where no one has been hearing from God. But you see, Malachi in chapter 4, his prophecy has that the prophet Elijah would come before the day of the Lord arrives. And even in Jeremiah, we actually read that there will be a descendant from King David's line. We come to this big section where Zechariah is looking back. He's continuing to look back over what God has done in the covenants. And we see it was around 2,000 years between that covenant being made with Abraham and where Zechariah is. But Zechariah read these texts that we refer to as the Old Testament. That was his Bible. This was the Word of God, the books of the prophets and the words of the Psalms. But he's able to look that back that far and see how it relates to where he is today in his life. And he understands now that this thing is not just about the birth of his son. It's not just about the blessing that God has given him and his wife Elizabeth. It's much bigger than that. This is about the fulfillment of a prophecy that had been made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years before, that we can read in Malachi and Micah and Isaiah and the Psalms. Because the birth of John marks the beginning and the imminent arrival of God coming into the world, a God who's going to deliver an oppressed people through the redemption of their sin. You see, that's what Zechariah sees. But then the song switches from the things in the past to the present, and he addresses his son. But see, we're able to see these things that this also was prophecy. This was meant to happen. It's the fulfillment of a number of God's promises from the Old Testament. We're able to see again in Malachi that a messenger would be sent to prepare the way. And that's the language that Zechariah uses in his song, that he knows that John is the man that will be preparing the way for Jesus. See, John was going to be an extremely important man. Not Zechariah. John. And Zechariah could have got resentful because he might have thought, well, you know, what's my role in this? You've made me quiet for 9 months. I'm not able to. Are people going to remember me in 2016 in Gorebridge when they're having their list of biblical characters? Are they going to remember Zechariah? Are you going to be near the top? We see he doesn't care. He doesn't resent the fact that John is going to probably outshine him. Because like any good dad, he's just happy to be there for his son. He's glad to have played his part. And also that second section where we also read in Isaiah that this great light was going to be coming in. Zechariah realizes that this is the fulfillment of this great light that is going to be coming from heaven. And those that find themselves in deep darkness will be able to see that light. See, at the very beginning, I asked you to think about the question that if you'd been mute for 9 months, what would your song be? And was your response that you would praise him unabandonedly? Just praise him, like Zechariah. Because Zechariah's his first thing, as soon as he is able to speak, boom, praises to God. But you see, I'm wondering whether we mute ourselves from praising God sometimes. I wonder if you've ever found yourself sitting listening to someone preaching and you feel it in you that you want to shout at the top of your lungs, Amen, but you stop yourself. Or you want to completely lose yourself in worship when the band's playing and you're singing and you just want to lose yourself in worship. Hands in the air, lie on the floor, face to the ground, but you stop yourself. You see, we maybe find ourselves stopping short because we don't want the people around us to think that we're weird. Maybe don't want people to think that we're silly. Because our pride stops us from praising fully the things that we want to be doing. And I wonder if there's been a time where you've felt that you had a prophetic word that you were to share with someone, but you chose to stop yourself from doing it. You doubted whether it was actually from God. Or what about when there's the opportunity to insert yourself into a conversation where you feel that God is, the God that you love and the God that loves you, is being unfairly misrepresented. But maybe we find ourselves stopping short from doing these things because we don't want to be referred to as a God botherer or a Bible thumper or Bible basher, whatever phrase people want to use for Christians. You might not want to get in an argument with someone who's referring to themselves as an atheist. You see, Zechariah didn't have any time to worry about these things. He was convicted by the Holy Spirit straight away, and boom, he praises the Lord. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. You see, another thing that I've been thinking, I was wondering whether we deafen ourselves to God's promises. Do we allow our doubts to deafen us? Do we look into our situation and look at other people's situations and think, well, yeah, God can probably transform their life and their situation, but probably not mine. And I'm not looking to minimize problems. I know what it's like to be in the dark place and have no idea where or when the light is coming from. But you see, Zechariah, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. And it will be giving us light for those people that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and will guide us to a path of peace. Because you see, God didn't promise us an easy life. He promised us an eternal life with Him. And He promises to take us to that place of peace. So when we do find ourselves in that darkness, that we know that Jesus is there with us. He's there to comfort us. He's there to guide us to the place of peace. You see, one of the things that I appreciated about Zechariah was that he understood his current situation in the light of what God's promises were and what was God's plan. He looked back over 2,000 years and saw that it actually applied to where he was. You see, that's exactly what we need to be doing. If we're able to reflect on God's plan, then our present makes a lot more sense and our future a lot less intimidating. So we need to get in tune with God's plan so that we're able to apply it today. Because when we do spend time in the Bible, we realize that it's not just a collection of old books and old stories. Because it tells us about God's promises. It tells us about God's promise being fulfilled and what God's overall plan was. I remember at some point in my training, I was told that you don't need to share absolutely everything that you've read throughout the week to a congregation. They're probably not that interested in it. And I can see that. I probably read a whole bunch of stuff that is unique to interesting me. However, This week, I found this thing that I thought was so cool. And without, again, risking any street cred that I have lost after showing you Love Actually, I found this really, really cool, and it was too cool not to share with you, right? So, if you go back to Genesis 5, fifth chapter in the Bible, there's a genealogy that goes from Adam to Noah, the very beginning of chapter 5, and you can check it out if you don't believe me. Each of these men's names, so Adam means man, Seth, appointed, Enosh, mortal, Canaan, sorrow, Mahalel, the blessed God, Jared, shall come down, Enoch, teaching, Methuselah, his death shall bring, Lamech, the despairing, and Noah, meaning rest or comfort. Now, if you put all those together into a sentence, man has appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching, and his death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. It's cool, right? So you're glad that I shared it with you, and it's okay to share that stuff with you, right? I thought that was awesome. You know, kind of brought me in minds of this. We know this one. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The promise. So as we come to the end, you know, I said at the beginning that Zechariah was a hero for those people that kind of doubt but are still willing to make themselves available for God. And we should be classed like people like Zechariah. You know, we probably have doubts. But we can still make ourselves available for God. And like I was sharing with the children earlier, you know, when God makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. We're able to look through thousands and thousands of years worth of history to see these promises being fulfilled over and over again. So basically, what I'm getting at is, don't allow your doubt to deafen you to God's promises. So who are the best people to not allow themselves to be deafened to God's promises? Well, those are the people that are able to reflect on God's plan and see how it fits into your current situation. It's the people that are most familiar with it and realizing that God has been working on a plan all along. And we need to read the Bible, because when we start to absorb the words that are in there, we realize that there are so many amazing things in there that we probably don't even know. Just like I did this week. I'd read that genealogy in Genesis 5 and it had never even came to me until through the week. And in fact, it was actually last night, if I'm honest. And I thought, that needs to go in. See, when we're steeped in the truths that are found in there, then we can be confident as we move forward. And our doubts will happen less and less often. They'll still happen, because we're human beings, but they'll happen less and less often, because we can hold on to those fulfilled promises found in the numerous stories of God's people. And you know, I highlighted this at the beginning, and I really, really would recommend that you come, because I reckon this is going to be pretty cool. I would also recommend that you don't wait until February to start reading your Bible. I think you should start doing that now. But if you want to learn a little bit more, then this will be great. Whether you're brand new to it, or whether you're looking to try and refresh your knowledge on some of this stuff, then this is something for you. See, the other thing is that, you know, don't mute yourself from praising God. You see, be like Zechariah. Remain faithful even when you do have doubt. Because even when you've got that doubt and you still feel compelled to worship, don't be worried about what other people think. Because who knows? Maybe God's wanting to use you as the breakthrough. Maybe that person sitting right next to you is thinking the exact same thing. They're wanting to do the exact same thing as you and put your hands in the air or face to the floor. Whatever it is that you feel that you're compelled to do in worship. You won't look silly. You won't look weird. Just abandon yourself freely, just as Zechariah does, as soon as he's able to, convicted with the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. And then you're able to sing and shout praises to God. Songs of joy and songs of deliverance. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you are a God who fulfills his promises. We thank you for the example of Zechariah, an example that we can look to emulate, of being steeped in your word, and we thank you for that word. We thank you for the amazing things that continue to happen as we read over the same passage but see something different. We thank you for that. So we thank you again for Zechariah, and we ask that we would emulate him, that we would be steeped in that word, that we would be aware of the fulfillment of your promises throughout history and apply that to where we are today. How we fit into this plan, this salvation plan. We pray that we wouldn't allow our pride to get in the way of praising you. And we pray that our doubts would lessen as we understand the truths that are contained in your word. Give us an appetite to get in there and read and breathe and live that word. So take away our doubts. Don't let them deafen us to your promises. And we make ourselves available. And we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.